Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, July the 23rd, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Good morning, everyone. Delighted that you're here. Delighted to have this opportunity to share these ancient tools with you in understanding the century Aramaic concept of forgiveness. And that's what we're here to do. And our work is that of comprehending that the output of our minds is just that, the output of our minds, where our culture has taught us that we're looking out through our eyes and seeing what's going on outside of us. That's a totally, patently false idea. What we're always looking at is our mind's interpretation of what's happening outside of us. We're not seeing the world as it is. We're seeing through perceptual filters and perceptual content that gives the world the meaning that it has. And if you hold meanings that don't support your human life, and we have an easy definition of a human life, hold a newborn child. If you've ever held a newborn, you know that this awesome presence of love is our human lives. So if there's something in your structure that does not support you living as a human being, truly living as the presence of love, then your mind will show you that everybody else in the world is your problem. So what will happen is your mind will take its content and massage it into pictures that make it look like somebody else is the problem in your life. What we're looking to do is to reverse that process and to understand that the unique output of your mind at every moment in every situation reflects the content of your mind. And if you hold content that doesn't support your human life, then it would behoove you to get rid of that content, to get back to really, truly functioning as a human being. That's the simple bottom line of the work. And the primary tool, although there are dozens of tools that we've developed out of the ancient Aramaic, the primary tool that comes from the first century Aramaic language is that of forgiveness. And forgiveness is the exact opposite of what we have been taught. Forgiveness has nothing to do with, I let you off the hook of what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness is how, if I'm in pain, if I'm in turmoil, if I'm in trauma, I reach inside myself and remove the projected turmoil and trauma from my mind so that I'm freed of what never belonged. And what never belonged in your structure or mine or anybody else's is any form of hostility or fear. So forgiveness is about removing that. I've been having challenges with my computer, and so I'm getting opportunities to learn forgiveness today. opportunities to breathe and to move through that challenge. You know, they are masterful at bringing up whatever is not like love in yourself. And so I've gotten a few of those opportunities today. And I just invite you to hold the space, and we're getting ready for Laws of Living to start tomorrow night. So we're kind of on rock and roll. And we are here to create support for your process, for our process, and for the healing of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to support. And so if that's a project that seems logical and sensible to you, then we invite you to participate. We invite you to support. We invite you to move in the direction of living and learning forgiveness, coming to the point where you truly are able to live as this awesome presence of love that you were designed for. So we welcome you to the show, and we invite you to pick up the phone and call us. Ask questions, thoughts, answers, ideas that you have around this first century process. We invite you to call in if you're on one of those stations that we can't see in our control panel. The call in number is 646-200-4169. Dial in, and if you have a question for us or a comment, you push 1, and that will put your hand up in the phone queue. And we would be absolutely delighted to get to speak with you and to support you in this process of reaching inside, scooping up what never belonged, and throwing it out. Forgiveness. So, welcome to the show. Delighted that you're here. Dr. Tim with us, Jeannie?
He is, and he's on.
All right. How do you be, young man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing quite well. Having a summer day here in Northern Illinois. One of our few so far this year.
Really?
Yeah, it's been very cool and rainy for the most part, and but we have nice warm weather and sunshine today. And
awesome.
I'm just doing beautifully well and privileged to be able to share these tools with people and to have two support groups going, one on Tuesday night and one tonight. And as you say, just kind of rocking and rolling. Things are moving. People are using the tools. People are getting good results. I had somebody come in yesterday and just rave about the changes she's able to make in her life with these tools. And she includes in those tools the worksheets, the tapping, EFT tapping, the breath work, the journaling, the mind shifter tool, and it, you know, it's one of the highlights in my week to have somebody come in and just be beaming at how well they're handling a situation, even though things did not go well in the past week or two. Her bright, cheery smile was because she can see how much better she's responded to these events that she would normally have said were an upset or derailed her or everything was falling apart. And so here she is in the middle of things not going so well outwardly in her world in the past week and a half, and she's just smiling and cheerful about how well she's handling it. So that's one of the benefits to me, is to be able to be around when people choose to get healthy and choose to apply the tools in their lives, and that's happened quite a few times this week, so I count myself blessed.
Well, I certainly join you in that blessing. We had a support group meeting here last night, and Magda and Jim chose to do a responsibility communication around an issue. They'd had surface some pain and upset for both of them, and it was just awesome. We had two young people who've just come to a couple of support groups, a young couple in their early 20s with two small children, bringing their children to the support group and being amazed at the possibilities, and really just fabulous to see young people like this who are just right there for it, who are showing up. I mean, it takes quite a commitment to get, I guess the little girl is probably a year and a half, and then there's a daughter that's maybe 8, to get two kids up and out in an evening and participate. It's just fabulous. And the use of that tool, actually, about 25 years ago, Jim, who's here at Heartland right now, and his then wife, Marcia, did a responsibility communication process. This is back in the early days of developing that. And we at least ostensibly videoed it, and we're videoing it for publishing. And unfortunately, the video didn't turn out, but it was one of the most powerful and one of the most awesome outcomes of responsibility communication that I've seen in all the years I've been doing this. And last night was just this really sweet space where I think that those observing were as impacted as Jim and Magda were in participating and seeing the possibilities. And so it's pretty sweet to get to be in that space and to see, you know, it reinforces so deeply for me the whole idea of the power of community. And when somebody's on their own in their own stuff, which means they're shooting and spraying, usually hostility and fear all over themselves, it can be a challenge to make that shift to love. Of course, the effort is worth it because soon we develop the strength, to achieve that condition of love. But to be in a space where those kinds of energies are up, and we had about 12 people, 13 people last night, and everybody's just there holding the space, literally, energetically spraying love on them, and just how gently and easily and beautifully these things melted and came forward. It was just pretty cool. Pretty cool. So we appreciate what you do in the world in bringing this forward, and appreciate what everyone who participates chooses to do to support and assist in these tools becoming available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet.
So are you connected to a young lady who was there for your Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work program, whose name is Erica? Are you connected with her on Facebook?
You know, I'm not sure whether I'm connected with Eric on Facebook or not, but she was. Yesterday, we kind of ran out of time, but I had the thought of acknowledging you for your tutelage of her, because she was just so here and so ready to do her work and comprehended so deeply what was going on. It was pretty cool.
Well, I have a feeling, although I enjoy the compliment and I thank you for that, I have a feeling it's misplaced. She has been that focused and that on since she came. She's obviously been doing work from a variety of sources for years. And the reason I mention her is because she made a Facebook post that was just a glowing testimonial to her time at Heartland and the Food Fund Forgiveness Program, and talking about health benefits, you know, the orthobionomy that was done on her foot, her ankle.
Her foot, yes.
Walking,
yes, she came
better,
in and left running.
You know, how she's lost some weight and she has, her energy was cleared. So I recommend that you, I was trying to pull it up very quickly as I was talking since you hadn't, but it was just a glowing testimonial. And my comment underneath it was, I sure hope that Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie see this. Oh, here it is. So she said that this morning she was packing. So this was the day she was leaving.
Right, yesterday.
And she put some beautiful pictures up there. And she says she stumped to Heartland with an ortho shoe on a broken foot, and she walked out with two good feet, hardly knowing one was even broken. Dropped 10 pounds. Was it the dietary change? Well, that didn't hurt, but I suspect it was all the worksheets and conversation and support and breathing. Life and death is in the breath. Then she posts the Why Again.
She had an awesome breath session.
Yeah, she posted the whyagain.org website. And she says, my skin looks better. My digestive system is in great working order. All three things I said I wanted to explore were undoubtedly explored in discussion and lecture. And I suspect it's another case of the invariable truth. Yes, everything I want and everything I need and everything I ask for is right before my eyes, each moment a growing. It goes on a bit, but just a glowing testimonial to the work, the support of the people that were there, your tools, the love and support you and Jeannie give people. So that's part of what I wanted to make sure I put out there on the call today.
Cool. Yeah, it was sweet to have her here, and a sweet lady doing some great work. And it's always just so amazing. One of the things that always impresses me is how the intelligence of each individual who takes a hold of this work puts it to work in their lives. And it's just the most amazing thing. Pretty sweet, pretty cool. And tomorrow night we start Laws of Living. So that's our next step in the process. We've got a 16-day Laws of Living starting tomorrow night. So we're on go. We're getting our food program together and moving forward. So let's check with Jeannie and see if she's got any callers or anything happening in the chat room, sweetie.
Hey, yeah, I just now clicked over to Erica's and looked at that too and was just typing a response to her. That's really awesome. We do not have anybody with their hand up and nobody's asking any questions in the chat room, so it's really quiet. I did get a couple of emails this morning though, and so perhaps we can address some of that.
Yes.
One of them being she's someone who has done teacher's training and she's doing a support group right now. She may be listening, so if you're on there, press 1 and you can put your hand up. But she was commenting on, you know, her commitment to doing the support group for a certain amount of time and then moving on to being, to taking it into the teacher mode. And so I was suggesting that's absolutely being a teacher when you're facilitating a support group. And that is also a very good step to start. I mean, someone can't do teacher's training and just launch out there and, well, I guess they could, but and just take off and it be, you know, what they do for a living or whatever, but that it's usually a gradual move into, but that doing a support group is absolutely one of the best ways to get your feet wet, to get started on it. Do you have any comments on that about jumping into being the sole teacher?
Well, my input would be that you might invite someone to assist and support you in the process, because in doing so you have someone to assist you in keeping on track and in staying in that space of love of truth. And the support group is an awesome place to learn to teach and to refine your teaching skills, and any support that we can be along the way, we're happy to do that. We're delighted to be on the team.
Awesome. And then the other email that I got was having to do with the two different goals. We actually talked about this a little bit last night in our support group meeting about the goal in step 3. Excuse me, in step 3. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, so the goal in step 3 versus the goal in step 7 and the difference between those two. And I had mentioned in the support group last night that goal 3 is something that you're wanting for or from the person, your object of attention, something that you're wanting from them in the situation that you're writing that worksheet about. But that goal 7 is something that's toward them that they may or may not ever know about. Like, you know, I may have in goal 3 that I want someone to, you know, honor me or cherish me or something like that. And then in goal 7, it might be just something like, you know, I want to open the space for us to communicate and have a deeper relationship or something. And so that opening that space is up to me to do, whereas if I'm wanting them to cherish or honor me, that's something that only they can do for me in my reality at that moment. So can you tell the difference in those two a little bit better?
Well, I think you've just given a pretty clear synopsis of it. In one case, I'm recognizing, and sort of the root of the whole idea is that let's go back to the Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells are firing, our reality is constructed out of 9 bits of data. Very tiny bit of information. And when 10,000 brain cells are firing, something has to filter out what's not going to be used and bring forward what is going to be used. And that becomes a big key in the healing process, is recognizing what drives the whole perceptual process. You know, we've repeated many times the research that's recounted on the CIA's website, where they're working on trying to get people to the highest levels of perception possible so that their intelligence analysts will be able to give them the best input possible. And in the book where they're studying perception, they literally quote word for word say, the mind does not record reality, it constructs reality. So when I realize that my reality is constructed out of 9 bits, if I don't have any idea what drives that process, it's going to be really hard to change. And we hear people saying things like, well, you know, if you're in pain, then you just forgive somebody. You know, there's somebody out there that's to blame for it. You're an innocent victim. It's got nothing to do with you, which is a total, complete, absolute 1,000% fraud. If you're in pain, there's a reason. You have loaded a driver in your mind that causes your mind to bring pain into your perception. The driver for the whole process is the goals that I hold. So if I'm in sadness or rage, and I'm looking in my brain at a perceptual image of you and saying, you enrage me, you hurt me, then the thing that's causing my mind to utilize my pain to produce the construct of you being the problem in my life, the driver for that whole process is my goals. So the first key part in the process of forgiveness is to recognize that I don't have a perception without a goal, conscious or unconscious. And so when I see myself, in step one, I outline the circumstance, the construct of my mind. I talk about who's involved. I talk about my being as love, and I bring in my feelings, the thoughts that cause my feelings, and my actual perception, my punishment. I bring all those things into a description of my reality, my construct. And then in step two, I acknowledge my willingness to embrace what is less than love that is in me from my own life or from my generations, and my willingness to go through the process of healing. That if in there, from my own life experience or from the experience of my ancestors, there's rage, guilt, grief, fear, pain, drama, or trauma of any kind, then I'm going to have to process through that, and in this work we define processing as the ability to keep love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. So in step two, I'm expressing my willingness to embrace those energies and stay connected to love and move through them. And then in step three, I identify the goal that drives my perception. So you'll notice, for instance, and you know, anyone who's new to the process, you'll notice that you have never been upset with anybody when they're fulfilling all the goals you have for them. You're upset with people when they're not doing what you want them to do. Why? Because you have a goal that causes your mind to utilize hostility or fear to that goal in order to create the perception that somebody else is the problem in your life. And when you walk through that process and recognize that the driver for my perception is my goals, then I'm freed by canceling that goal. And as I cancel the goal, by doing that, I collapse construct that perception is about you or somebody else. My is beeping in my ear. Are you hearing that beep, or is that just on my end?
We're not hearing it.
Well, I'll just ignore it then, because it's loud and.
Yeah, it was someone texted you and I both, and it came through like as 21 different texts. So once it finishes, it's crazy. But it did it on my end too. But the show's not hearing it. So.
Yeah, but we are hearing up little breakups in your talk, but you're still audible. So.
Okay, I think he's adjusting his earpieces or something there. So in the same venue of what we're talking about, a lot of times, you know, people will be doing worksheets, and it's a way of avoiding, I think, to, you know, like you're going along and like the example that I was giving of wanting someone to honor and cherish me. And, but, you know, I've written in number one all of the issues around it, but I really don't want to, jump in and look at that issue in my life, because it's usually a repetitive issue. Like, for instance, you know, I want them to honor and cherish me, but what I know is that, you know, my feelings is, say, let's say that I feel like they've left me or abandoned me, and so I don't want to look at that because I feel like I've been abandoned several times in my life. So it's a repeat thing. I don't want to go that deep. So instead of actually putting the goal in number three that I want them to honor and cherish me or stay with me or whatever, I will put something very general, like, you know, I just want to be happy, or I want, you know, to be able to find peace somewhere else or something like that. So it's kind of that would be more of a goal that would go in seven, but it's my way of saying, okay, I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at that. But if we don't go there and we don't look at it, it's going to show up in our life continually, because that's what's becoming our diseases and our stresses and our trials. And until we clear that up, it's in our cells. And so our energetic field is going to send out and tell someone to come in and show that part to us so that we can heal it. And until we clear that up, we are actually the one that's calling it into us repeatedly. And so avoiding looking at it isn't going to change it. We have to actually go there.
And the way that doing what you just described, Jeannie, that is putting a general goal in rather than the one specific to the situation you've described in number one, is it switches issues. You know, if I wanted to put in, I just want to have a happy life, you know, that would be a worksheet on life, but it's not a worksheet around this particular person in this particular situation. So it's a way of switching issues when I make the goal about something other than the specifics of the situation that I'm in. The reason my mind is constructing a perception based in hostility or fear that seems to be about this situation is I loaded a goal in my mind that causes, that recruits that information, that causes my mind to utilize that information to construct this particular reality. And so always making sure that the goal is as precise as possible relative to what you want out of the situation, the person, or what have you, in number one, even if the worksheet is on yourself. Same principle applies. And so when I'm able to see what my goal is, then the next step in number four is that when the active presence of love and that which underlies my pain meet, my pain begins to dissolve. So in step four, I take responsibility for making sure that love is active and present in me. And then in step five, I do two things. When I remove the driver, in the Arabic language, the word forgive is shabag, and it literally translates to cancel. So I shabag this goal, I cancel this goal, not because I don't want it, not because I can't have it. It may be an absolutely wonderful goal. The goal, not the problem. The problem is that when I load this goal, it recruits content based in hostility or fear. So I can have a goal for somebody to cherish and honor me And if in my filing system being cherished and honored, there's rage and guilt and grief and generations of betrayal, hatred, and vengeance, then every time I load that goal, what's going to come up is betrayal and vengeance and hatred and all of those energies. They're going to be injected into my perception because my goal is the thing that determines which units of perceptual data are used in formulating my guidance system, my behaviors, which come via perception. So I cancel the goal. Again, it may be a wonderful goal, but I cancel it anyway because I recognize that it's causing my mind to use something that I've hidden from myself to build my guidance system. So cancel the goal is the first step in number 5. And then the second step, when I recognize that perhaps this is an issue that's gone on for generations, and I guarantee if you sat anybody down and interviewed them in depth about the core issue in their lives and went and interviewed their parents, one or both of their parents have had the same issue and never went through it. If we interviewed the grandparents, 1, 2, 3, or all 4 had the same issue and never worked through it. If we interviewed the great-grandparents and their grandparents before them, that issue would be there. I guarantee it, absolutely 100% of the time. And so if I recognize that I've got this, we'll call it for want of a better term, a 9-bit mind, and not necessarily looking at any kind of literal process, but recognizing that in conscious awareness, I get to see a tiny fragment of what's going on within my own unconscious. And so the step 5A, I cancel the goal, and then in step 5B, I ask for support from, in Aramaic, the term was that what Yeshua explained to people 2,000 years ago was that there was a literal elemental force within
Is he breaking up or is it just my hearing on that, Tim?
No, it's been breaking up. We could hear everything except that last sentence, Michael.
Okay.
Say again about the elemental force and what it does.
Yes. So in Aramaic, Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago about an elemental force in us that in Aramaic was called Ruach HaKodesh. The Greeks have translated it as the Holy Spirit, but in Aramaic, first century meaning of the word is this super processor, so to speak, this elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. That if we want to see the truth, we're not likely to get it from the past, the mind and perception that's focused in hostility or fear. So I invite this power to go to work. Once I've canceled my goal, I'm saying, you know, I'm not sure I can process all of this on my own. I need help. And so I'm inviting that power to go to work in me, to support me in being restored to love, to restore love to whoever I'm focused on with this situation, to undo my capacity for hostility or fear, which takes me out of my true nature. So I'm asking for support and assistance. And once I've done that, then I'm going to document what's going on in my mind in step 6. First of all, how do I feel? Now, there's no right answer to that one. I may feel better, I may feel worse, but I want to document how I feel. And then in 5B, if I look back at the whole situation that I started out with in number 1, what does it look like now? And what happens is when people actually truly engage in canceling the goal, engage in forgiveness, what occurs is that in number 1, they started out talking about someone else. Collapsing that perception, what happens is they drop into the part of their minds that's in need of healing. It's just the absolute most amazing, amazing thing to watch happen. When somebody's, you know, in a fit of rage at Charlie because of what Charlie did, and all of a sudden they cancel the goal they had for Charlie and see the pain that underlies their rage, and they see it directly and are able to process it directly. So that's step 6, is the tapping into how you feel, comparing that feeling with number 1. It might be better, it might be worse. In many cases, there's relief. In some cases, a person drops into a deeper layer of what needs to be healed and opens their next worksheet. And then they start to see, generally speaking, 99% of the time, people will switch the conversation from somebody out there to the inside process. And then we invite people in step 6C to really, truly look at a time when they violated the goal that they're expecting someone else to live up to. And most people have done that, have violated the goal that they're insisting others be perfect at, and now when they confront themselves, it's like, ooh, I haven't been so perfect either. And this step tends to bring in compassion, and compassion is another powerful healer, another human attribute that is awesome to have flow into the whole process. And then in step 7, having canceled, collapsed the goal, collapsed the perception, and tapped into a deeper part of my own mind, and being restored to love, from a space of love, what is a goal that I could hold for that person who was my object of attention in the beginning? So in the earlier part of the worksheet, I canceled the goal I had for them to do something for me, and now from a space of love, I'm replacing that with a loving goal toward them and offering it to them. And offering it to them from a space of willingness and from a space of active love, from a space of gratitude for, and this takes a little bit of time to build the brain cells to have gratitude for these situations, but from a place of gratitude of having seen the hidden part of my own mind. Seeing the hidden parts of the mind tends to be pretty traumatic for most people, and so it sometimes takes a little bit of time to appreciate that. But the fact that you get to take a hold of what it is that you want to throw away with the process, even though it may be painful to hold it consciously, you got it in your hand and you get to throw it away, you get to forgive it. And then you replace your original goal with something loving you're willing to do toward whoever the object of attention was in the worksheet. So in one case, you're canceling a goal you had for them. In the second case, you're setting a loving goal toward them. And that's kind of, in a nutshell, the forgiveness process. So does that kind of get to where that email was searching, Jeannie?
I think that's perfect. Yes, thank you.
Cool. Fabulous. Any thoughts or comments for you, Dr. Tim?
Well, my first thought is it's an excellent example of how we keep trying to ask people to ask questions, because even the most basic question helps us clarify, peel through the layers of our own distortions. And I have, on a regular basis, and it even happened again the last two times we did worksheets in the group, people get stuck on, well, can you help me figure out the goal I have to set in number 7? And sometimes the idea is still, the issue that's being resonated in the person is still so upsetting that they don't want to include the other person in the goal. So, for instance, one of the things we've had several people decide to do on those goals in number 7 is to say, I offer to you, whoever the person is in 1C, that I will keep doing worksheets on my anger or fear or sadness until I can hold you in a space of love, or I can view the situation differently, or that I clear up my upset. And then, of course, everything is changed in the relationship. And it works very well for some people to do that, because it keeps it in line with the original upset, the thoughts that are causing that original emotion, and the original goal. And often that's all it says. My goal, my offering to you is, I offer you the loving goal that I will continue to do worksheets or mind shifters to dismantle my upset, so that when I look at this situation and relate to you, I can do it from a space of love. Of course,
yay.
Sometimes people choose to get more specific about the actual event, but it's a great question, because it's often a stumper for people. Another good reason to have people call in the radio show or attend a support group, because, you know, several minds together throwing out ideas often results in a much better pool for the individual to choose from to formulate their goal in number seven.
For sure. Most definitely. On that note, let's see if anybody has a question for us. How are your worksheets going? How is your understanding of the tools? We got an email from a friend who has a farm, and they have woofers, which are organic food farm workers who kind of just travel around the country and work on organic farms. And they had someone show up who just fell in love with the Why workshop. And I don't remember, Jeannie, how many times. Was it her third time that day? We had heard from this woman, and this woofer got a hold of the Why video, the four-hour one, and had watched it several times and was just really tapping into and falling in love with the work. So it's cool to hear about people who are impacted right from the beginning with the tools and the process and moving it forward.
Well, Michael, let me just add, since it came up a couple times, a couple days ago, I think Julie from Oregon was calling and asking about, you know, her thought was she wanted to move into teaching this more. And you mentioned in that call that one of the primary things is for people to be doing their own work, doing their own worksheets, et cetera. And since that time, I've had several different people ask me about it and comments and questions. And I just want to echo what you said. I know several people who have been exposed to this work and who have gotten all fired up and have gone charging out to teach this. And they think they're all fired up about how they can have an answer for other people and how they can help other people. And I know several of them, and I've heard from them and from others who've experienced them in that process, where they just got slammed. And their issues got stirred up, and the people they were dealing with weren't doing the worksheets, and that resonated anger for them, and that resonated disappointment, and people said they would come to the support group, and then they didn't, and now I feel betrayed. And so the reason that we recommend people who want to teach the work start doing their own work first is not because we're trying to create some kind of an exclusive club. We'd love it if everybody taught this work. And those of us who have gone out there and taught it realize when we do, it stirs our stuff up. And if our stuff gets stirred up and we don't actively apply the tools to remove it, we fall back into the old pattern of blaming the people and the circumstances outside of us for what we're experiencing. And we wonder, why is this happening to me again? And we forget there's a really good book on that subject. And we keep going. So it functions on many levels, but it's actually like a prophylactic. It actually helps prevent a lot of problems if I do a lot of my own work before I decide to go out there and teach somebody else. And then I simply go out and live by example. That's one of the most powerful ways to teach it.
Definitely, definitely. And I've seen people over the years, Tim, who fall in love with it, and they're going to go on the road and do Michael Rice. And we don't suggest anybody do Michael Rice, because only Michael Rice can do Michael Rice, and Tim Hayes will do Tim Hayes, and Jeannie Rice will do Jeannie Rice. And, you know, each person will do the work in their own unique way, and that's what we encourage and support. And we're not looking to replicate anybody doing the work in a particular way. What we want to do is support people doing their process work so that they can move the work forward on the planet in their own unique way. And so I've seen people go out and just burn themselves totally and completely out because they are going to go out and go on the road and do workshops, and everything that they haven't dealt with is going to be up in their faces. I suggest that people stay home, do it in their own communities. It's a whole lot cheaper to stay home and do that work and learn those lessons than it is to be out on the road doing it. And I speak as the voice of experience. The opportunities that you're going to get will be monumental. I think back of several years ago, it was probably 15 years ago, there was a very large organization in West Palm Beach, Florida, that I had tried to get into. Actually, it's more than that. It was pre-Heartland, so it's more like 30 years ago. And I tried to get in to teach, and the door just was like, you know, an iron bar was on it. It wasn't opening. And about 5 years after I had initiated attempting to teach there, they came knocking on my door, called me, "Michael, would you come and teach here?" And, of course, I was delighted to, and I did. And I realized, as I stood in front of this rather large audience, and they were a pretty sophisticated group, that had I tried to do that 5 years earlier, had I gone in and done that, I wasn't prepared enough to do it. There was too much that I didn't know to have carried the kinds of questions that came from that audience. So at that point, I was quite thankful that the door had not opened as I had wished it would have 5 years earlier, and that it opened at a very appropriate time. And so, yes, teaching it is a key in the process, and I suggest anyone who's going to teach, start a support group and work with the tools on a weekly basis, daily basis with yourself, a weekly basis with a group, and all of those issues that you carry, that you would carry into a classroom, will surface within that context. And as you create a space of support, you know, how many times has Dr. Tim spoken about, he did the worksheet in the support group and it was the group supporting him. I remember one time we had an intensive here with about 30 people, and a woman who was homeless showed up. She'd driven here from Colorado. I have no idea how she got here. So much pain in me that when she left, I was down on the floor being breathed by the intensive group. So, you know, expect to meet whatever you hold inside of you that you haven't dealt with as you do this work, because that's what's going to come up. And so, you know, if you want to intensify the purpose of the world, and that one of the unique purposes of the world when we hold any form of hostility or fear is to kick us right square in the limitation. If you're ready to intensify that process by 10, commit to teaching, and you'll take it to the next level. Now, the other side of that is, I recognize in my own life that if I hadn't moved out of the business world and gone into teaching this, this would have been a pleasant memory, gone long ago, and none of what I've developed over the last 45 years would have been developed, because I wouldn't have done it. Just, you know, in my business life, life was busy, and, you know, I thought the purpose of life was different, and I now comprehend it, and I just wouldn't have moved forward with it. I engaged in it, and I would have engaged in it for a little while, and then it would have been gone, and I'd been just out there in the standard world. I think about that now, and it's a scary thought to be living the way today that I was living 45 years ago, to have just carried on that tangent. Oh, man, would not be pretty. And so to recognize that the willingness to take the role as a teacher is such a gift to yourself, because you'll be the one who's being taught at every step in the way. And it's just awesome. And Jeannie tells me that we've got a caller. Go for it.
We actually don't have a caller, but we have three things going on in the chat room. And I'm not sure that we're going to have time to hit all of them, because we're down to about 9 minutes. But
go for it.
The first one is... Michelle's actually in there, and she can't call in, but she said that in working with people who are resistant to using words like Jesus and God and Holy Spirit and Rukka, what would you do in that case as far as getting involved in this work and avoiding that?
Yeah, I wouldn't use those words, that's all. You can speak the principles. I mean, I've gone in to a group of physicists and don't mention anything to do with that. One of the most powerful workshops we did 3 or 4 years ago in Fort Lauderdale was actually at the Holocaust Museum for a Jewish group. And we used none of those concepts, none of those words. It's the principles that are important. Yeshua enumerated them in a way that I haven't seen them anywhere else. So when you add his specific words and concepts to the principle, it becomes much more understandable and deeper, but you develop your ability to speak it in many languages. You'll notice when you do the Why workshop, I speak physics, I speak theology, I speak psychology, I speak genetics. I speak in many different languages. And what I've found is, and the reason why I've purposely, consciously developed those different languages, conceptual languages, is because when people hear it in one conceptual language, they go, oh, that's nice. You know, there are lots of people in church who hear, you know, forgive your brother, and they don't have a clue what it means, and they go around letting everybody else off the hook, never understanding that the phrase was actually forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother, that it was about going inside of yourself and cleaning that up. Without the psychology language, that's difficult to understand. And so when people hear it in several conceptual languages simultaneously, they tend to open up on a new level. I've been in churches where people have resented and resisted the physics language. And it's like, well, it just reinforces it, but yeah, we can drop that language if you like. And we can speak it in a totally theological way, or we can go in and speak it in a totally physics direction. So you know, it will take some skill building on your part to be able to put the concepts across without using certain concepts that bring up offense in people. And the other side of that coin would be to support them recognizing that their offense is theirs. You know, you've seen me in the workshop where I put the initials BS on the board, and I point out that's belief system. And of course, everybody laughs because that wasn't what was firing in most people's minds in response to the initials BS on the board. And then I point out that you'll notice that if you could imagine, I recount that, you know, in churches, when I put those initials on a board, there are people who are actually offended, and they think offended by the initials on the board. And I point out that those initials mean belief system. And if someone were offended sitting in the pew looking at those initials on the board, the thing to notice is that they'd be offended by their meaning for the initials, the content of their minds, and so it is in every situation. And so you'll get some skill building in the process of learning to present in languages other than those that raise too much offense to people. And then you'll learn to speak in languages that will raise offense and support them in healing through it. But it's a skill set that develops over time, and we hold the space for it.
Awesome. And I did respond to a second question on her, but I want to get this other one in as well. Well, first of all, Camille said that she got the CDs and everything, and she's thankful,
awesome.
And it touched her heart. She loves the CDs. It's wonderful. The last one, and I'm not sure we're going to have time to get too far into it because we're down to about 5 minutes, but someone had been in the chat room sometime back, and they were feeling, you know, kind of suicidal that morning, and we walked them through doing, you know, some work and everything, and she says that she is very grateful for that. It got her into doing the worksheets, and she has seen a change in her life. But then she switched and said that she found out that someone across the street from her did commit suicide, and so she's thinking that it was just psychic or empathic that she picked up on their feelings. And I said, well, if you feel something, it's yours and it's not theirs. And so can you explain the difference there? What would that have been? She woke up feeling it, but the neighbor across the street did it.
No. Well, my input would be that it could very well be that you, because you had those same brain cells, that as that energy was radiating from your neighbor, that you picked up on that. You can only pick up on that, however, if you're attuned to that frequency. Now, let's imagine that we've got 100 people in the neighborhood that are attuned to Channel 2. Well, they're all looking at, ostensibly, the same picture. They're looking at the television's replicating of the same signal 100 times. And in exactly the same, and the reason for that is because there's a signal radiating that's being picked up because there is a tuning mechanism attuned to Channel 2. But if somebody's on Channel 4, they're not watching Channel 2. The set attuned to Channel 4 can't receive the signal from Channel 2. If I don't have brain cells for rage, guilt, grief, fear, suicide, whatever it is, and someone else is radiating that energy, I can't pick it up. If I'm picking it up, a contribution that I can make to support them is healing that part of my mind, healing what in me is in resonance or in tune, the part of my mind that attunes to that. As people can realize that, gee, I have some brain cells for suicide, I think we'll do some worksheets on that. Well, gee, what's this worksheet about? What am I going to do here? Gee, the worksheet's going to be on myself, and I'm feeling some depression. What do I want? I want to feel joy in my life. I cancel, I need to feel joy. And as I cancel that, I drop right into the deeper part of my mind that holds something that's less than joy. I bring the active presence of love with me, and I begin to dissolve that. As I dissolve that, in the loop with the person across the street who perhaps I am in tune with her signal, I now bring in true aliveness to this part of the mind that's focused in suicide. And by bringing true aliveness, I may actually be able to open the space for her to make a shift and for her to have an energy to link to that otherwise she wouldn't link to if it weren't present in somewhere in her environment. And so that's, again, the power of community, and that's the power of the what Carl Jung called the collective unconscious. But I can only resonate with something out of the collective unconscious if it's in me. There are a lot of people who play the empath game of, oh, I'm impacted by what everybody else is feeling. And my input is, you've never been impacted by what everybody else is feeling. You are impacted by what resonates in you because of their feeling, because you're attuned to the same frequency. And as I begin to forgive or remove, dissolve that frequency, and I open a space for them to be freed of it as well. So that would be my take in that regard, and we are down to just the last minute or so. So if there is more conversation to be had around that, I would be delighted to continue this at the opening of the show tomorrow, and or maybe to do it in person if you could call into the show if we'd like to get more clarity on that idea. It's a powerful one, important one. And so we invite you to create the best year yet to give the world. We invite you to take the share it with others and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. And thanks for joining us. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.